Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, thanks to the makers of... Tonight, Bromo Seltzer's Vox Pop train travels to the famous Lake Placid Club, high up in the Adirondack Mountains, where we'll hear from American soldiers recently liberated from enemy prison camps and other overseas veterans who are enjoying 2 weeks of fun and relaxation as guests of the Army. And here are your two Vox Poppers, Ed Sullivan and Peter Donald, pinch-hitting for Parks Johnson and Warren Hull, who are on vacation. Come in, Lake Placid, New York.
This is Ed Sullivan.
And this is Peter Donald. And Ed, in all my born days, I've never seen anything quite as exciting as this Lake Placid Club version of the story of G.I. Joe.
You know, Peter, that lobby out there is actually bringing headlines to life. Instead of communiques, the shoulder patches of the 1st Army, the Rangers, the 77th Division.
Yes, sir, and there was the 36th Division, the Greenland Command, the CBI Theater.
And you forgot the 28th from Pennsylvania and the Yankee Division. And, by the way, here's a youngster from MacArthur's Command. From Bridgeport, Connecticut, Corporal Bill Thomas. Bill, it's very nice to have you on the program tonight. Where did you win that Purple Heart?
I got my Purple Heart on Lady in the Philippines.
From Lady in the Philippines? Then you were with MacArthur's outfit, huh?
We were attached to the 32nd Division as a wire communications unit.
Well, exactly what did that call for? What did you have to do?
Well, our job was to put in wire communications right after the infantry had cleaned out its squad.
Telephone wires and...
That's right, telephone, telegraph, and teletype.
Well, on that particular telephone call, you got the wrong number, huh?
You're not kidding. I wish I could have reversed the charges.
Where do you, up in Bridgeport, what did you do?
I was a projectionist in Rialto Theater.
Rialto Theater? Did you play vaudeville up there?
Yeah, we had a few shows. I ran the spotlight for them.
You ran the spotlight, and then you got over, an axe would... You're not the fellow who killed vaudeville by any chance, are you?
Not quite, no.
Now, Bill, when you were in the hospital at Lady, what were you thinking about?
Well, the first thing I thought about was getting home and seeing the folks and meeting Sandy again.
Meeting Sandy again? Who exactly is Sandy?
Edward, my boy, here is Sandy herself. We like everybody to meet her. Miss Sandra Chaper. Here she is. Very, very lovely brunette lady. Sandy, did you by any chance think of Bill while he was away at all?
No, not at all.
Not at all, huh? You got her fingers crossed. Tell me a little bit, how did this romance of yours start? Was it in the mountains with the moonlight or in a canoe or something? How did it start?
Oh, over an argument over a nickel.
It started in an argument over a nickel. Where did that happen?
In the house.
In the what?
The nut house.
In the nut house? What do you mean? Explain.
Well, Bill usually came in for a half-pound cash. Tomorrow's nut house.
Oh, you were working in a store selling nuts?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, wait a minute. Got to straighten that out. He came in for a pound of cashews, yeah.
And, well, they were 80 cents a half pound. Bill tried to tell me they were 75, and we had an argument.
You had an argument. And that got you together, got you to know each other?
Uh-huh.
And you haven't had any arguments ever since. Everything's been going pretty good, huh?
That's perfect.
Perfect. That's swell. And the look in her eyes when she says that. That's really a new Hollywood story, Ed. Boy meets girl, girl sells nuts, boy goes nuts over girl. Well, and here you are, two mighty swell young people. Ed, what do you think we ought to do with them?
Well, I was thinking, Peter, you know, Bill says that he was always kept thinking of getting married to Sandy. Well, Sandy, I'll tell you. You see that door over there, right over there? Well, you take your Sandy through that door, and inside you'll find yourself in the post chapel. And in that chapel, Bill, the chaplain, Father Bernard Carl, is waiting to marry you two youngsters, so you'll have all the trimmings. Vox Pop is brought up from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Your mother, and Sandy, we brought up your mother and dad, and your two sisters, Helen and Anna, for your bridal party. When the two of you kids are married, you come on back and rejoin Peter and me right here on the stage. There they go into the chapel. And you know, Peter, that just about completes the memory I'll always have of this place. Turned over to the Army to give these GI returnees a $1 million vacation.
Yes, sir. I've never seen anything equal this any year. Summer resort that even has ice skating for these guys.
With their wives up here for 2 weeks as the Army guests. You know they've got everything. Golf, tennis, hayride.
Yeah, and they've even got a big day and night club downstairs, the Copacetic.
I was down there.
And they've got Army floor shows and movies, the whole works. But look, how about letting our Vox Pop audience meet some more of these returnees? Who's next, Ed?
Well, a tank gunner from the Battle of the Bulge. From New York City, Private First Class Arthur Homer. Arthur, MacArthur, what part of New York do you come from?
From the Bronx, Ed.
From the Bronx?
That's right.
You got some Bronx people out there, and I suppose that these mountains up here and lakes of Lake Placid remind you of your native Bronx, don't they?
Oh, they sure do.
Are you married?
Yes, I am, Ed.
You know, I've got the darndest suspicion. I've met you someplace before.
That's right. You on the boat that docked, you were at the boat when we docked the 5th of May on the SS Argentina.
The Argentina, yeah. We went over to Carasoya, then later over to Kilmer.
That's right. And I've also seen you at Madison Square Garden at the Harvest Moon Ball.
Well, we'll have you dancing back there one of these days. Now, what outfit were you with?
I was with the 707th Tank Battalion attached to the 28th Division.
And what did you do in that tank?
Well, I was a tank gunner.
Mm-hmm. Civilian life, what did you do?
I was a clerk at the Forest Hotel on 49th Street in Brooklyn.
A hotel clerk became a tank gunner? How did that work out?
Well, I tell you, when I was examined at Fort Jay, I spoke to the doctor confidentially.
Uh-huh.
I told him that I had bad feet.
Oh, I see. And was he sympathetic?
Yes, I imagine he was, because he gave me a tank of my own to ride in instead of hike.
Oh, I see. All for your little bad feet. Now, where was your first combat?
Well, that was up in Belgium, and then we fought up in Hurtgen Forest, and then down to Luxembourg.
That was in the Battle of the Bows.
That's right. That's where I was captured.
What
December 17th.
December 17th?
That's right.
When you were a prisoner on Christmas Day?
That's correct.
You remember it?
Oh, it's a horrible Christmas that I'll never forget. It was the third day we had gone without food or water in the boxcars.
Some of your fellows wounded, I suppose?
Yes, there were some wounded, and all I kept thinking of was how I wished I could be home.
Mm-hmm.
All the turkey dinners, Christmas trees, see the tree in Radio City, all the lights on Broadway, and hear my wife wish me a Merry Christmas.
I was in a boxcar on Christmas Day. Was that your first Christmas over there?
That's true.
Now, where did you go to? Bad Orb?
That's right. We went to Bad Orb, which was Kellogg 9B.
How long were you there?
3.5 months.
How'd you fellas, in 3.5 months, how'd you entertain yourselves?
Well, most all of us, for our hobbies, we copied menus and recipes.
We were hungry, huh?
That's right. We always had our minds on food.
Sort of made up imaginary meals?
That's right. Imaginary meals and menus.
And what was your favorite meal?
Well, I was a breakfast specialist.
You were a breakfast specialist.
That's right.
What was your favorite breakfast?
My favorite breakfast consisted of a hot cake.
One hot cake?
Covered by a fried egg.
One fried egg on top of the hot cake.
Covered by a hot cake.
Another hot cake.
And another fried egg.
Another egg.
And then another hot cake.
A third hot cake?
Oh, yes. And then the third fried egg.
Another fried egg on top of that,
that's
huh?
Right. Lots of butter, syrup, surrounded by sauce.
Oh, you are, as a civilian, you are really killing me. Well, now, after those big imaginary meals, you must have put on a lot of weight. How did you reduce?
Well, we sang songs.
What kind of songs? Hit parade songs?
Well, it was our hit parade song. It was a song called Come and Get Us, Georgie Patton.
What tune did you sing to that dude?
To the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
How did it go?
Come and get us, Georgie Patton. Come and get us, Georgie Patton. And
finally, you sang so loud or so bad that Georgie finally came and got you?
That's right. The second day of April.
Well, it's wonderful to have you home again. What are your post-war plans?
Well, my post-war plans, I'd like to own a liquor store up in the Bronx near the Yankee Stadium.
You mean one tanker looking for more tankers, is that it?
Oh, that's what I'd want. Lots of tankers.
Well, I don't know if we can get a tanker for you, but Bromo Seltzer has for you, Arthur. First, for your everyday use, here's a very rare gift, a fine electric razor. And for your home, grab the collection you've already started, that we heard you started. We have this fine antique porcelain figurine of a Chinese mandarin. A signed piece, by the way. And for your wife, who's here at Lake Placid with you, some really yummy wool sweaters. One coral and one lime. A brown wool skirt and a navy blue cardigan sweater of pure soft cashmere. Thank you very, very much, Arthur.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Now we hear from the man behind the society column, Ernest Chappell.
The presses roll, Peter. And out comes an item from the Dashville Daily News. Mrs. F. Willington O. entertained informally last evening at her Snow Hill home. A delightful time was had by all. But if you knew how the hostess felt a little while before her guests arrived...
I'd worked so hard getting ready. I just felt I couldn't go to my own party. My nerves were on edge. And to top it all, a headache.
And then, Bromo Seltzer brought speedy relief.
And a delightful time was had by all, including me.
Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. When headache interferes with your social life, when it bogs down your business efficiency, Bromo Seltzer's your big news for quick, three-way relief. Though ordinary headache may bring upset stomach and jittery nerves with it, fast-dissolving, fast-acting Bromo Seltzer helps relieve all three. acts on head, stomach, and nerves, you feel three ways better fast. So don't be satisfied with single-acting aids. Turn to time-tested Bromo Seltzer, the three-way fast relief from headache. Get Bromo Seltzer from your druggist tonight, and then...
Fight headache three ways!
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Back at the Lake Placid Army Ground and Service Forces redistribution station... I didn't think I was going to say that with these teeth, but we have a fella here who's doing a swell job on the permanent party. From Dedham, Massachusetts, Private First Class Wally Richardson. Wally, how long you been in the Army?
Oh, I went in on Washington's birthday in 44.
On Washington? That's a fine way to celebrate a national holiday. I see. Well, our little spies report that another American soldier is having a birthday today. You wouldn't know who that would be, would you?
No, I haven't believed that.
No, it's Wally Richardson. He's having a birthday. How about that, huh? Ed, would you like to sing a little happy birthday to you, to Wally?
Well, I'd love to,
yeah,
Peter.
Yeah, please do.
Happy birthday to
Thank you, Ed Sullivan. All right, fine. Tell me, Wally, what outfit were you with, please?
I was with the 9th Division.
I see. You were a prisoner of war yourself,
That's
weren't you?
Right.
Who captured you? How did it happen?
Oh, well, I was captured by a smiling German lieutenant.
Oh, smiling?
Mm.
Laughing on the other side of their faces now, I guess. But what did he say to you when he captured
well,
you?
Well, in nice English, he said, okay, boys, it's all over. Let's go.
He spoke English?
Oh, yes, very well.
How'd that happen?
Well, he happened to be a hotel manager in England before the war.
Have you seen any smiling hotel managers since you've been back in the States?
Not like that to Lake Placid.
That's just about it. And we know that you were taken from Bonn to Limburg. You lost a little weight there, didn't you?
Yes, I lost about 40 pounds in 30 days.
That's quite a load. Have you put it back on?
Well, you can judge.
I see. The food was a little better at Kustrin, wasn't it?
The food wasn't too much better, but the treatment was.
Why was that?
The compound guard, the compound leader, was a prisoner of war during the last war of the Americans.
I see. Well, what did you do for recreation in the prison camp?
Recreation? We were too darn weak to do any recreation.
Well, how did you pass the time on
them? Well, most of us passed the time by reading the Bible.
You did?
That's right.
Did you have a chaplain with you?
No, we had no chaplains, but a boy by the name of Johnny Sandrock from Virginia and myself acted as acting chaplain while we were there.
Never having done it before, you conducted services,
That's
eh?
right.
That's grand. Well, tell me, what are you doing at Lake Placid now?
Well, I'm in the educational branch here, discussion leader for the Army Orientation Program.
Uh-huh. Well, explain that a little bit. How does it work? What do you do exactly?
Well, we try to lead discussions on points of interest that the boys want to discuss, such as the GI Bill of Rights, post-war plans and problems, and we have a sound-off session for them where they can tell us just what they think about the Army.
Oh, you mean they have any complaints, really?
Well, once in a while.
I see. Well, this is a wonderful outfit up here. It's a wonderful job you're all doing to sort of give these guys the old seventh-inning stretch before they go back in for the last couple of innings, and I guess you know that it's the best team in the world, don't you?
Yes, it is.
Well, you're all doing a grand job, and because you are, because we're glad to see you, Bromo Seltzer has for you, well, first for your wife, a fine alligator wallet and a bottle of very rare and luscious perfume. This is Chanel Russian leather. How's that? All right? And for you, Wally... Well, we hear you're quite a golfer, so we hope you'll enjoy this set of six Sam Snead matched irons made by Wilson and four matched Jean Sarazen woods with a leather-bound canvas bag to complete the whole outfit. Thank you very much, Private First Class Wally Richards.
And now from a suburb of Fall River, Massachusetts, another Purple Heart, another returned prisoner of war... Corporal Joe Souza. You know, what is that name? Is that Souza? Is that Italian?
No, it's Portuguese.
Portuguese? You weren't a Portuguese band leader by the name of Souza, were you?
No.
You married?
I am.
Parents living?
Yeah.
What outfit were you with?
I was the 9th Armored Division.
The 9th Armored. We read a lot about them back here. You were in the Battle of the Bulge. That's where you were overrun and surrounded?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Now, do you remember the day that you were captured by von Rundstedt's men?
Yes, I'll never forget that day, Ed. We was marched down back to the road there, and we passed by the Normandy Highway, where they had these artillery men and also our medics all shot, killed there, and snow almost hasn't covered. I could tell by the red cross on the helmet that they were medics.
These are the Americans who were murdered by the Germans,
That's
huh?
That's right.
Now, where'd they take you?
They took us into a stockade.
No, did they treat you that way there?
No, they treat us bad there.
If I say they treated, did any of your men get murdered there?
They did. I'll never forget one night when they come in, two lieutenants come in for shoes. They want size
the German
9
lieutenant?
That's right. Size 9 1/2 shoes. We all took off our shoes and they took out 3 men.
We interrupt this program. We have interrupted this program to bring you a special news broadcast from the Pacific. For a special communique from Admiral Nimitz headquarters, we take you now to Guam.
Pacific Fleet are the battleship HMS King George V
and the aircraft carrier HMS Formidable.
These combined forces off Japan form the most powerful striking force yet assembled as one unit in the Pacific. I return you to the United States.
This special communique was brought to you by CBS World News. We now resume our scheduled program.
Back at Lake Placid, resuming this interview, Joe, that was cut off by that war flash from the Pacific. Now, how did you get out of that camp where they had murdered your men?
Well, I got out one night to an irrigation ditch, which led to a bunch of pine trees.
Did you meet any of your other men?
I did. Next morning, I met 15 men.
So now you had 16 men? How did you didn't have any arms?
Aids and guns from the broken up tanks of ours that we had in the woods.
So now you 16 American kids start for the American line?
We did.
Did the Belgian people help you?
They did. One night there where I had my feet pretty well froze, this Belgian woman gave me a pair of stockings, black stockings, which I still have at home. And also the doctor drew us a map how to get back to the American line.
So with this map, you start out across German-occupied towns and sentry, German sentry-posted bridges. How did you lose many men in that fighting?
We did. We lost everyone except 4.
So now out of the original 16, there are 4 of you boys left, and now this is your last day coming up, and what happened?
That's right.
What happened?
Well, that day was walking down the road, and I was ahead, and I looked up, and we noticed a bunch of men.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know what they were at first, so we was pretty well delirious, and we started fighting again.
You 4 boys against this whole regiment that
we
showed
did.
Up, huh?
And we ran out our last ammunition, and one Texan fellow that was pretty bad, had his 2 legs, trench foot, and set in gangrene. And also a fella Todd from Wisconsin was paralyzed one side, me and the other fella. And I was out of ammunition. We just took out our knives and went after him. That Texan was ahead.
Older Texan fellow with his own ice led the attack on him. What day was that?
Well, that was on Christmas Day. That was the day I'll never forget.
Christmas Day. And what outfit was that you ran into?
The British outfit.
The British. Well, we're very delighted that the British ran into you, Joe, and glad that you're home. And we understand you're expecting a little Joe or Josephine at your home in a short time. So Bromo Seltzer's having shipped direct from the factory to your wife a fine Whitney baby carriage, and I mean it's a honey. And for you, we have this fine pen and pencil set with solid gold caps on each. And for Mrs. Souza, here's a 17-jewel Kingston wristwatch that we hope she'll treasure for a long time to come. Thank you very, very much, Joe Souza.
Peter Donald, what have you done?
You can't take it with you, said a popular play, but you can, says Ernest Chappell.
Sure you can, Peter. When you get all head up and headachy starting off on a hard-earned vacation, you can take your headache with you. Or climb aboard the Bromo Seltzer Special and give ordinary headache the go-by. Yes, fast-acting Bromo Seltzer is your one-way ticket to 3-way prompt relief from headache annoyance. Teamed up with the headache, unsettled stomach and jittery nerves may add to your trials. But speedy Bromo Seltzer acts quickly, helps relieve all 3, head, stomach, and nerves. You can take Bromo Seltzer after it settles or while it's still fizzing. Caution, use only as directed. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor. But remember, when headache hampers your summertime fun, it's Bromo Seltzer for welcome relief. Bromo Seltzer, a product of the Emerson Drug Company, comes in 4 popular sizes. You'll find no faster, effective relief. So step up to your druggist and say, Bromo Seltzer, you're on the right track, the fast track to...
All right, here we are back in Lake Placid again, and I have another grand GI here, Ed. He's wearer of the Purple Heart and veteran of 110 days in a German prison camp. From Merrick, Long Island, Private First Class Robert Moore. Bob, welcome to Vox Pop. You don't mind if I lean on you, do you?
No.
How tall are you, incidentally?
About 5'2".
About 5'2". Of course, up here in Lake Placid, you're about 1,805'2" above sea level, so you're a pretty tall guy. Now, as a matter of fact, I can kid Bobby, because shall we tell him the last time we met, Bob?
Sure.
We met in school. He was just passing out of the fifth grade, and I was flunking out of third year high or something like that. Tell me, what did you do? You went in the movies, didn't you?
Yeah, that's fine. I went out in Hollywood, tried to get a break. I was in Boys Town.
In Boys Town, what'd you play?
Wonder Boys.
I see, that's fine. Did you get on the stage at all?
Yeah, I had to get in the Army to get on Broadway, though.
What show did you do?
This is the Army.
I see. Well, you were that. Why did you leave the show?
Well, it was pretty tough, and I thought maybe I could get a softer job, so I ended up in the infantry.
Tell me, what did you do in the infantry?
I was in heavy weapons. I carried a base plate.
You carried the base plate?
Yeah, 81 millimeter mortar.
That's a little big for a guy like you, isn't it?
Slightly.
Did the guys think it was funny?
Yeah, say, hey, Shorty, where's the base plate taking?
And you were captured in the Belgian Vault, is that right?
That's fine.
How many of there were you at that time?
Well, there was about 300 of us. We were going up this road, and we got cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up another road, and here's a convoy hit a landmine, blew up the jeep, and killed the sergeant and the driver.
Yeah.
And we gave up then. We found out we were fighting against three Panzer divisions.
Three Panzer divisions against 300 guys.
Okay.
That's pretty good odds with fellas like you. And you were 110 days in prison camp. Who liberated you?
Patton's Army.
Oh, really? Have you seen General Patton at all?
Yes, I saw him once.
Did you speak to him?
No, that guy travels too fast for anybody.
Well, you must learn not to be so snobbish. What are you going to do when you get out of the Army, Bob?
Well, I don't know. I think I'll go back to military school.
Military school? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do just to see what we can do in the meantime. Bromo Seltzer has for you, Bobby, a couple of things for that all-important young lady back home, which I guess you have. We have a fine gold anklet with tiny, graceful links. You can put your brand on her there, partner. And for you, we have a heavy gold signet ring, pre-war weight, by the way. And to wear around your room during your leisure hours, here is a soft scotch wool dressing gown and brown and white houndstooth design. Boy, I could use that myself. How do you like that? Okay?
Oh, that's swell.
Well, thanks a lot, Private First Class Robert Moore.
Before the newlyweds come out of the chapel, Peter, let's tell the folk about next week's show.
Righto, Ed. Next week, the Vox Pop train pulls into the Marine Air Base at Cherry Point, North Carolina, where we'll be talking with Marine flyers just back from the Pacific.
Wait a minute, Peter. Here comes the bride and groom.
Oh, look!
Congratulations to both of you youngsters and every wonderful wish. And now, Bromo Seltzer has for you both some gifts we hope you'll enjoy. First for you, Bill, a set of match-grain K. Woody pipes and handsome taste. We understand you're quite a smoker. And for you, Sandy, we're having made a beautiful jewel pin that you can wear as a brooch or on a hat. It's made of palladium. You know, that precious metal is so fashionable nowadays in engagement and wedding rings. It's being designed for you by the famous jeweler, Mark Corin. I know you'll love it. And for both of you, we have this beautiful silver service for six in a handsome box. It's National Silver's loveliest pattern. And finally, we found a little place right here in Lake Placid just made for honeymooners. And it's yours and Sandy's for the rest of the summer on Earth. Every wonderful wish. Now, We actually had something else for you that the audience doesn't know about, but I'll tell the audience about it because first I'm going to call him out. We had to get a best man and a matron of honor. So for the best man, we got one of the Columbia Broadcasting System's greatest stars. He's here and I want him to come out. He's quite a fisherman up here in the mountains. Down home, he's a radio star. Ted Collins. Ted, come on out here.
But it's nice to see you again.
Well, it's awfully nice to see you again, Sandy.
Well, I didn't know that when you invited me over here this afternoon, you were going to have me meet Sandy and Bill here, and I was going to be best man. I just thought you wanted to rent a few cottages around and spend a little bit of money, but I didn't know that I was going to be a best man here.
Not only the best, you are the best man because you lent me a pre-war golf ball to play golf with.
Well, thank you, Ed. Did you return it?
I certainly did.
Well, that's the main thing. If you put it back in the bag, everything is all right. Ed, we had a beautiful wedding in there.
We really had
a beautiful wedding, and I think that you missed a big highlight of the evening. Don't you think that you had fun, kid?
Darn right.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Now, come on over and speak up. Now you're man and wife. Now you really have to say something. Did you have a good time, Bill?
Best I ever had.
How did you do, Sandy?
I think it's wonderful.
You think it's wonderful? Well, now, what are we going to do from here on in? Ed, do you know what happened to me? You know what happened to me, Ed? When I came in here and I got this job of being the best man, they said, we've got to have a bridesmaid. So I said to Sandy, well, you can get a bridesmaid. There's about 86 women back here. So one of them said, no, I think that we'll have somebody that's very well known because we want to get some pictures taken. Uh-huh. So I ducked out and got them a bridesmaid. You know who it was?
Who?
Kate Smith. Smith.
To say, hello, everybody. I was just going to say, needless to say, I was quite thrilled to be able to be the matron of honor at this lovely wedding. I want you children to know how happy I was to have been here with you, and I wish you the best of success and happiness and good health and everything that goes with it.
Thanks very much,
Bill, I hope you, two of you, will have a long and happy life together.
Hey, Bill. Tell me something, Bill. When you were over on the other side, you weren't always happy, were you?
Heck no, I got lonely.
You mean you got lonely once in a while for Sandy?
That's right.
Well, you did want a song from Kate tonight, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
All right, now I tell you what we'll do. She's going to sing a little song that, believe me, you'll never have to sing as long as you live from now on in. And the title of this little thing that she's going to sing just for you so that you can laugh at it is I'm a Little on the Lonely Side Tonight. So you take it, Captain.
I'm a little on the lonely, a little on the lonely side. I keep thinking of you only and wishing you were by my side. You know, my dear, when you're not here, there's no one to romance with. And if I'm found with someone else, then it's just someone to dance with. Every letter that you send me, I read a dozen times or more. Any wonder that I love you more and more? Oh, how I miss that tender kiss and long to hold you tight. I'm a little on the lonely side tonight.
Now, Kate, you've been at this club for 15 years. What is your reaction to seeing it filled with GIs?
Well, I will say this, Ed. Of all the years that I've been coming here, and I have been coming to the club about 12 years, the only change I see in the club are the boys in uniform instead of the members who used to be here. And they look very happy. And I'd say it's a wonderful change for them. And as long as they're happy, then I say they should have the club in their possession as long as they need it to use. Because God knows there isn't anything that we could do to repay them for what they've done for us.
Thank you very, very much, Kate.
And don't forget, tune in next week for Cherry Point, North Carolina.
Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
Be sure to join Vox Pop next Monday night, friends. And remember, next time an ordinary headache strikes, get three-way relief fast.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.